Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, August 4th, 2018, you're listening to the PW Torch livecast, a.k.a. on Saturdays, The Deep Dive with Rich Van. This week, we're talking hashtag Nice Try Terry on Hulk Hogan's birthday of all days. We're talking about problematic fandom in terms of the WWE Evolution pay-per-view, as well as in the comic realm, the casting of Starfire for DC's Titans live action movie. And of course, as always, we're talking to you, so give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. This week I will be joined by MMA Torch contributor Sean Covington, and we're going to be discussing these things. But before we do, I do want to give my condolences to the families of Nikolai Volkov, the late Brian Christopher, and of course, Jerry Lawler and his family, and Brickhouse Brown. Those three passed last week. And on top of that, we had the election of Kane to mayor. So last 2 weeks have been wild in terms of things happening and just the ups and downs of following wrestling fandom. So without any further ado, I think this is Sean. So let me double check. Sean, is this you?
Yep.
Outstanding. Welcome to the deep dive. Welcome back. For those of you who do not remember, Sean was involved in what we call the lost episode of the deep dive, where we had technical difficulties that forced it to just die. But yeah, so welcome back. And before we get started, why don't you tell the folks what you do with MMA Torch and what led you to want to talk about the subjects you brought to me for this week?
Well, thank you for having me again, first off. And I want to say what brought me to this week was Hulk Hogan's apology or lack thereof. And as you know, on the Lost episode, you know, I guess you could call it a defense of him. It was more of like an insanity plea, but, you know, it was more of a defense more than anything else. So I just wanted to revisit that, especially since it's his birthday. I want to revisit that. And we got a lot of that stuff going on right now and just in sports in general. So it's always going to be a constant topic. And what I do with MMA Torch is I try to cover as many live events as I can. I remember years ago when King of the Cage first came out, and it was doing well, and you would hear these names, and some of these names were Daniel Cormier, Ronda Rousey, and you didn't really know who they were. And now is a great opportunity to see them crank out names like that, see those guys in the big time, and go see the event and cover it live. You know, so I just want to bring my own personal words and experience to the table whenever I go out and represent the Torch.
Awesome. And so this week, like I said, we're going to be jumping around talking about some big heady issues. And let's start with the Hogan apology, or as you called it, a non-apology. What was it that made you kind of take a step back from your insanity plea that didn't ring with what you would have thought would have qualified as a valid apology?
Well, because the insanity plea is only for something that's temporary. So if it's not temporary, then it's ongoing, meaning you don't have an excuse. And I'll be honest, I knew this guy wasn't going to change. I knew there was no change coming in Terry Bollea or Hulk Hogan or whatever, because he was sad that he got caught. It's okay to be sad that you got caught. That's one thing. Everybody's sad when they get caught. No, you know, no problem. But he said to those few that may have been offended. What he said was offensive, period. It's just an offensive thing to say. So everyone is technically offended. You know, even if you choose not to be, it's still an offensive thing. And most people, even that defend him, can agree with that.
Fair, very fair. And so as we go through, for me, I saw the comments and, you know, I filed it under a lot of people nowadays are, instead of apologizing, going with the I said I'm sorry defense, which really gives you a non-apology defense of an apology. You never have to deal with the actual action of saying what I did was wrong. All, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, during the presentation to the locker room, during his public comments, the only thing I've seen of note is watch where you say things and watch social media, because everyone's always watching, as opposed to what I said was inappropriate and shouldn't have been said in mixed company, shouldn't have been said anywhere. And the responses from the New Day, Titus O'Neil, amongst others, were very heavily slanted in that direction, not that of, well, with this guy apologize and I'm never going to forgive him, if that makes sense.
No, and they were totally correct in their response. In the New Day, well, Kofi Kingston represented the New Day and made that statement. It was perfect because he was like, well, you know, don't scratch him from the history books. He is who he is. He contributed from a wrestling standpoint, but he also contributed this. And this isn't going to go away, just like the things he did, you know, in wrestling. Yeah, he body slammed Andre the Giant. He also said the N-word and unapologetically, you know. So those things can't go away. When things get stained, they get stained.
And because we're on Blog Talk, and because this is a we have it filed under family friendly, we're going to refrain from using a lot of the commentary that Hogan did. So keep that in mind when you guys are listening to us. But I would also strongly encourage that you go to one of my main men and colleague on the East Coast cast, Cam Hawkins at Seahawk, C-E-E, Hawk, all one word. And he has several times directly quoted what Terry Bollea said in the video. Now, regardless of whether that was stereotypically recorded or done for nefarious purposes, reading what he said, we're all a racist to a point. I'm a racist to a point. You know, an N-word be 8 foot tall and a basketball player. At least do that for me and don't let it be a producer's son. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. And, you know, as we go through this tonight, we're going to talk about that, and I also want to kind of set the stage, too, with you had mentioned the Women's Evolution pay-per-view, and also kind of as an aside, the same weirdness in fan bases when it came to the casting of Starfire in the DC Titans show. And can you talk a little bit of what struck you on those chords?
When it comes to Starfire, I'll just come right out and say it. I just got a different standpoint from everyone else. I know exactly what's being said and what's been said. And the reason I am who I am and I don't care mostly about what I say is because a lot of people worry too much about feelings instead of trying to get the right point across. And the point that people were trying to get across, they didn't. And it came out super racist. No one said the things that they just should have said. They should have said, I don't like this, this, and that. Instead, they led with something that unfortunately is a little bit more concrete. They just leaned a little bit more in the racist column. They just said, well, okay, I'll go with race. Why is she black? And that's honestly not why me or any of the people I know that strongly dislike Teen Titans, and I mean, I know a lot of people that did not like the trailer or the early shots of Starfire and stuff like that. I know a lot, and they didn't like it for the same reasons. And this is across races and colors that didn't like it for the same reasons. But all I see is this one racist reason. And I think that's something we need to talk about. We got to be able to talk about not getting caught up in the hype and the spin of the world, because if, you know, that's going to make other people look bad. We don't need to put people in Hogan's shoes when they don't just even if they come off like that, we don't need to put them in their shoes if that's not what they meant, if that's not what, if they couldn't accurately explain what they were getting at. I think we need to give people a forum and a chance.
Okay. And then for that one, and obviously for those of you guys listening in, definitely hit one on your touch tone or your rotary, whatever moves you, if you want to join in on the conversation. But yeah, when we come back, I want to start with that and then take our first call. And we're going to dive deep into this stuff this week on The Deep Dive.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive. Joined this week with me is Sean Covington of MMA Torch, and we're talking about a lot of subjects, a lot of them having to do with the lens with which you view the world and how that can affect some of the racial or fandom issues you may see out there. And we're talking Hulk Hogan, we're talking Titans, we're talking to you. So give us a call, area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And
real
like
quick,
I said,
Rich.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Real quick, I'm sorry. Yeah, I want to touch on women's evolution real quick. The thing with that is super simple. WWE created something, and it makes it hard for people to talk openly and honestly about it. And it's going to come off misogynistic no matter what you do or say, because they set this precedent, and it's not a good one. And we will get into that later, but like that's simply put, that's my take on that. They just messed up from the beginning, and going backwards is really difficult to do.
Well, why don't you expound on that a little bit? Because I don't want to leave folks hanging before we give them a chance to kind of join in.
Yeah. Well, they didn't start off, you know, they had this period where it was just all bra and panties matches and stuff like that. And they just made it to where people were like, well, get this stuff off of the screen. We're trying to watch wrestling. And now that they're like, oh, well, here are these female wrestlers. Hey, you know, the wrestling's good, but not everybody's changed their way of thinking. You know, this is literal programming. And I'm not sure that everyone has had the proper context and time to get their programming correct, and that's due to WWE. I don't think they were building it up the way they should have from the beginning, and it's a problem now. And we need to understand the people and just kind of educate them on what's going on and how this evolution, so to speak, has been taking place, not how it's just randomly taking place right now. And that's the context WWE is like, oh, it's happening right now, we're doing it. But that's kind of out of context and doesn't take the whole scope of wrestling, period, into effect in it. It's not taking and presenting it all as one thing. It's just presenting their side and their eras.
Very true. Very true. Now, before we go any further, we do have a caller, and this is going to continue the lost episode theme because we're going to start with Mr. Kylan Furlow. Kylan, welcome, as always, back to The Deep Dive.
Thank you, Rich. How are you and Sean doing this week?
Excellent.
I got a headache.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. And depending on how you feel about what I have to say this week, you either will have a more soothed version of a headache, or your headache will become worse by the end of our call this week. I hope to soothe your headache, but We shall see. You might end up wanting to come to New Jersey and punch me in the face by the end of this call, but I sure hope not.
Oh, no, I'm cool. I'm cool.
Before I officially start with what I have to say, I would just like to issue a disclaimer that this is strictly my opinion and based off of the experience that I am privileged enough to have had so far, and nobody's forcing me to say what I have to say. So, if there are people out there who don't like this, I'm sorry, but this is all me.
Go right ahead, Kylan.
As most of you listening to this may know, I had what was, in my opinion, the pleasure of meeting the person that some people still believe Hulk Hogan or Terry Bollea to be about 3.5 years ago through a friend of mine that went to elementary school with his agent at a Halloween convention in one of the nearby towns here in New Jersey. And Hulk, or Terry, as I know him because he instructed me that all of his real friends know him and refer to him as Terry, couldn't have been kinder to me, my mom, and my two friends that came with. As a matter of fact, every 5 seconds he was asking, did we need anything? Did we want a snack? I mean, He couldn't have been kinder as I. So to hear that he said such incendiary things on the recording that came out 9 months later was certainly very disconcerting and does not reflect the individual that I consider myself privileged to know, but that doesn't mean that I agree with or was not offended by what I and millions of other individuals heard on that aforementioned recording.
It's fair. For me, this is like I was listening earlier to Talk is Jericho, and he was talking to Chris Tucker a few months ago. And Tucker was, like you, discussing his relationship with Michael Jackson. And obviously, they're not going to broach any of the allegations of misconduct sexually of Michael Jackson with children. They're just going to talk about the relationship as it is. And I, for one, I'm not going to come to New Jersey to punch you in the face. I've always respected that. For me, it's just been, how is it that the same person who could be so kind and so generous to you also have been known as such a transactional person in his life and have something like this in the back pocket as well? So what I mean by that is, sure, he is great to you. He'll be great to anyone that takes a picture. But how is it that writ large, his statement cover black folk so demonstratively bad? And then his only, the only defense I've seen on Twitter is, well, President Obama said the word too. and, you know, how come rappers can say it? Like, it gets really weird when that stuff starts coming into the equation.
I go out. I used to be an entertainer. Well, not used to. I just took a hiatus. And people often say it, whether you like it or not. And my thing is, there was an era where we definitely didn't like it. But if you heard it, then that meant it was a whole lot more trouble coming with it than someone just repeating a rap lyric. I definitely am appreciative that those times aren't the same anymore. I can't say that they're completely gone, because they can happen. But I am grateful for whatever little steps we may have taken in that direction. But I tell people, it's a free country. You can say whatever you want. However, how someone reacts is also free for them to do. If Cam wants to punch you in the face, that's what he's going to do. I mean, sure, he might go to jail or something, but that's not my fault. That's yours. You know, you can always not say it and not take that chance, but you're free to say it if you want. Just know what you're saying.
I agree with you, and I, as I said earlier, in no way do I agree with if you know me, I'm about the least mean or nasty person you're ever going to run into in your, but I'm the type of person that views people in the way he is treated by. So, for example, if you or Rich were of another race and you said something similar to what Hulk or Terry, as I know him, well, let's just use Rich because I've been privileged enough to have the honor of working with Rich as a contributor on this show for the last year and a half. But if Rich was to say something similar to what Terry said, based upon the way he has treated me, I would immediately come to his defense and not allow anybody to say anything incendiary about him, because that would be bad for the person that I was close to and familiar with, but that wouldn't mean I was in agreement with the horrible statement that Rich said, if you catch my drift.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I completely agree with you, and I see it. And, you know, I actually had sent a text to some of my other friends similarly, and saying the same thing I'll say to you, Kylan. If something were to come out, like I said some really heinous stuff, while I appreciate it, I think it's completely fair to say this dude screwed up and I can't defend it and just leave it there. I for me personally, if I came through and I said something that was just that bad, I got to take the loss. I'm the type where I have fully earned that loss. Let me take it. I wouldn't want you to bring yourself into it, but I completely respect and appreciate that sort of loyalty and friendship. But yeah, before we get out of here, anything else you want to add? Because I do want to see if there's any other callers, and I want to kind of pick Sean's brains on a couple of things that you just pulled out from there.
Oh, and I believe I forgot to mention this when we originally did this episode before, but I believe you may know this, Rich, is I've also had the opportunity to spend several hours with Titus O'Neil and several other WWE wrestlers a little over 6 years ago. And Titus, like Hulk, along with the several other wrestlers that I spent time with on that occasion, were also very tough. So seeing Titus and New Day's statement, while I happen to wholeheartedly agree with their immense displeasure, it was also very sad for me to read those statements, because they haven't had the pleasure of getting to know the Terry Bollea that I have been privileged to know.
No, that's fair, and I appreciate that. And I look forward to, I think it's, let me double check the old calendar here while I have you on. I think it's the end of the month, but I don't want when next we are going to be on together. Let's see, deep dive topics. This makes for great radio, so apologies, folks.
That's all good.
Let's see. I try to stay organized, because once football starts next week with heat acclimation, it is wild as far as how my weekends are going to go. So, yeah, August 25th, Kylan is going to be on with me, and we're going to cover wrestler TV shows unless he has a better idea. And then we'll move wrestler TV shows to another date and do the idea Kylan has instead. But it's been awesome, sir, having you on. I wish you a wonderful rest of your weekend.
You too, Rich. Sean, I hope I made your headache a little lighter, but if you'd like to take this opportunity to yell at me, I fully understand that too.
Oh, no, I got the same sentiment as you, man. I mean, I hope to meet the Terry Bollea that you did. I still hope to meet that guy. I know that guy exists. It's just he exists parallel with another person that believes some horrible things. So.
Yeah, he's still there. I haven't seen him since that day, but I receive correspondence from his agents very often, and I have projects with some of their other clients on the table as we speak, actually. And I'm always told Terry says hello and he hopes that you're doing well. So that person still exists, but a lot of people just don't believe that he does because of the nature of his extremely incendiary comments.
Well, thank you again, Kylan, for being on. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about hashtag Nice Try Terry. We're also going to talk again about the Evolution pay-per-view, Starfire, and, of course, talk to you. So make sure you give us a call, area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And while I have you here and I'm talking about Terry Bollea on his birthday, I mentioned myself that, you know, I'm not a saint. I've said some dumb things in my life. I'm 37. I can look back at emails from 10, 15 years ago and see things I might have said, things I might have did that were completely out of line. And I would completely own up to what I did. And I think it's a close shave, but not as close as the shave you'll get by dealing with Harry's. Harry's is not only my favorite razor to use when I'm preventing Team Netbeard from being my life, but it's also a quality money-saving method for me to stay smooth in the summer months. So you must think about $13. In this $13 trial set, you're going to get a weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. And if you're a listener of the Deep Dive, you can get your trial set, $13 value, as I mentioned, by going to harrys.com/pwtorch. Make sure you go to harrys.com/pwtorch to redeem your offer. Let them know I sent you to support the show. And when we come back, we're going to hit some more of those notes and chat with y'all here on The Deep Dive.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Solar Monster sounds off.
Mundo goes to leave, and Taya says, "Wait, aren't you going to put any pants on?" He just goes, "No time for pants," and he walks off. That also happens to be Randy Orton's philosophy in life. My philosophy, too. You see, you don't know if I'm wearing pants right now or not, do you? You can't see. I could be wearing nothing right now for all you know. No time for pants.
Solar Monster sounds off.
Since 2007, The Solar Monster sounds off. Available at thesolarmonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive with Sean and Rich. And Sean, of course, is of MMA Torch fame, so that was a very apropos promotion right there. So, Sean, I thought there were some great points. And before I jump in, we do have a caller, 623. Thanks for calling The Deep Dive. State your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, Rich, this is Brian calling from Phoenix.
Brian, outstanding. Always to have the senior Torch VIP member to call in. 27 years strong?
Yes, sir. Hopefully you both have a real good weekend, first of all.
Outstanding.
It's all right. I watch Justice League. It's not that great no more.
Yeah, I'm not a DC guy either. So I am interested in hearing a little bit more about the Starfire controversy. I read up a little bit on it, and then also I go back. I remember the first Teen Titans comic. Well, the first one really would have been in the 60s when it had the original group. But when Marv Wolfman and George Perez rebooted it, I guess early 80s, that's one of the comic books I actually used to collect. So I was a Starfire fan since she pretty much started. But I want to kind of hold on and listen because I have some comments about the Evolution pay-per-view. So I want you two gentlemen to keep talking about it, and then once you get to that point, I want to hear what you say, of course, but then also want to weigh in on it as well.
Okay. So, Sean, why don't you start with the Teen Titans. What were the biggest things that were negatives to you and why? Because, like you said, there's this big hanging cloud over Starfire where a lot of people were focusing on the racial tinge of some of the fandom. But there are quality issues. Like, for me, the fact that Robin is somehow Jason Todd masquerading as Dick Grayson in Tim Drake's uniform. And,
yeah,
you know, dropping the famous F Batman line as he murders some fools in an alley.
For one, that my brother spoiled the ending of Man of Steel to me. He said, "Superman snapped General Zod's neck." I said, "Why did you just tell me that?" He said, "Well, yeah, he killed him. I just wanted to let you know that." And it was so out of character that it just threw him off. And this was just super out of character. Let's forget about Starfire for a second. Like, I think that maybe the character itself in that universe might work with Raven. Other than that, why is he snapping a dude's neck? Why is he killing somebody? I want to know that immediately, because that's not what Batman, well, most Batman do in most Batman universe, whatever. So that threw me off. That immediately took me out of it. And then he says, "Screw Batman." I'm like, "Well, that's funny. Why don't you give him back that suit that he made for you? You're ungrateful. You're wearing a suit. Take that off, too." So,
or that money,
because
I don't know how Dick Grayson is somehow a billionaire on his own.
How'd you get your job? Like, geez, why don't you just go, why don't you just start off being homeless, because that's what you were about to be. Start from that and then say, "Screw Batman," after you've been self-made. Other than that, and that's the first thing they show in the trailer, so I'm immediately upset. But I'll tie my experience with knowing about the Teen Titans. I heard about it. There was chatter.
And I heard that no one liked any costumes at all. But I got a very, very short story about it. I was getting my hair done. I was at a buddy's house. He's ex-military. He and his wife, they're both white. And she was touching up my locks. I have, I locked my hair. And she was just, go ahead. She was doing that, and she said, oh, Scott's got something to show you. Why don't you show him the new Titans trailer? And he for one, doesn't like Teen Titans Go. That's what how we started all of this. He hates Teen Titans Go. He likes the original Teen Titans. I like them both. I like Teen Titans Go a whole lot more, the original Teen Titans a lot less. Anyway, we're watching it, and they get to Starfire. And when I think of Starfire, I think, oh, 60s go-go dancer, Nancy Sinatra. These boots are made for walking, because I'm just thinking of her outfit. But then I see, I know it's family-oriented, I'm not going to curse, but I see if anybody's old enough to know the Hookers at the Point HBO series, that's how Starfire was dressed. And it's got nothing to do with her color or anything. She just looked like a straight-up hooker. And I say, oh, that's not what I would think Starfire would look like. Like I say, it's got nothing to do with her or anything. Like, if Robin was dressed like Lobo, would you be upset? Like, man, why is Robin wearing a leather jacket? You know, why is he wearing tiny blue jean shorts like Stone Cold? You know, like, that would be upsetting to you if you saw that. If he was dressed like Stone Cold Steve Austin and snapping necks in an alley. So, yeah, Starfire is not her skin color, but her just looking like she shouldn't look really bugged me. And that's all I saw. That is literally all I saw. My buddy didn't say anything. He didn't care about her race. I mean, his wife was doing my hair at the moment. She was retouching my locks. And we both just talking about these horrible costumes. And that's all I saw on the internet. And like weeks later, I don't know if everybody's familiar with that certain stylized Facebook video that starts flashing words on the screen and basically propaganda. It's telling you what people are saying and stuff like that about a certain thing. And it was saying that people were so outraged about Starfire's color. And I'm like, that's definitely true. But all I heard that really mattered was that her costume was terrible. And that's all I got. And nobody was dropping this racist stuff. I mean, sure, it was there. And some of it you had to kind of look for, but it was never to the point until you start to see media and people make videos about it, and now that's what they're pushing. And I'm like, no, I happen to know plenty of people who don't feel like that at all, from all different races and religious backgrounds, that hate the costume. And I don't know who put the story out there or whose agenda it is, but I want the truth to be known. The costume's terrible. We can talk about race all day. That costume's whack.
Brian, what do you think? Now that you have Sean's kind of take on things.
I agree. I went back and watched the trailer, and to me, race and characters, it all depends. Like, I know nobody saw that Fantastic Four movie that came out with 2015-16. Thanks to Cameron Hawkins, I grew up as my first comic book I read was the Fantastic Four. So I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge Fantastic Four fan. And when Michael B. Jordan was cast as Johnny Storm, and Jessica Alba as well cast as a visible woman / girl, I was thrown off because I have no problem with those white characters being white characters. And it didn't make me want to go see it more to see Michael B. Jordan playing Torch. It made me actually want to go see it less. And to
Same
digress
here.
For one other second about that, when I saw that movie, I saw it. I call it the dollar show, Sean, but it's really like the $3 show now. When I was a kid, it was like a dollar to go to that theater. I saw it at the dollar show, and I was the only person in the theater at this Fantastic Four showing. Anyway, so when I see race and I see characters, all depend to me in my mind always how I perceive them in the other medium. Now, Starfire, like we just said, or you're just saying, Sean, a golden character, alien, and when I saw it, I was like, okay, you know, that is, okay, no problem with it. The costuming part, I would agree with as well. I'm not currently up on all Teen Titans as it is, so I, you know, and I, you know, if I'm walking by and I change channel, I see it on there, and I see, you know, Big Head Raven and things like that. I'll stop for a minute and take a see what they're talking about. But the costuming-wise did throw me off as well.
Her voice, Starfire's voice, if you ever seen Drawn Together, it looks like she sounds like Foxy or whatever that black character was on Drawn Together. Like, when you see her, that's what you think her voice would sound like. It was just weird that she was wearing a mink coat to me. I was like, a mink coat? I mean, I don't know the story. I don't. We don't know it. But, like, I don't think Nancy Sinatra. That's what I'm saying. It could be black Nancy Sinatra. That's cool. But, like, it's just the costume doesn't make me think even alien. You know? Like, it's not even alien. It's just, you know.
And I like the Nancy Sinatra because when you said it, Sean, I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
White go-go boots and the belt, and, you know, like, and the hair too. The hair also, hair. That's the biggest part about it. Now, I happen to hate that particular hairstyle, but the hair is the first thing you see. If you take that hair away and that coat, yeah, sure. Because they even her like her acting isn't the problem. Her acting isn't the problem. Like I could tell she's a good actress, even dressed horribly. It's just weird. And to touch on that Fantastic Four stuff real quick, did you ever watch the like the original film made in the 90s that they didn't release?
I want to butcher the director's name, but the one that, they, like you said, they never released and you probably saw some, barely saw some clips on it. That one, I've never seen it all the way through.
It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. I haven't made it all the way through either, but it's on YouTube. That Victor Von Doom is perfect. They got his costume perfect. And no one will ever see it. But on the other hand, the thing looks like a thing, like a literal penis. He looks terrible. I don't know why they made him look like that, but he looks awful. Yeah, that movie's terrible, but I'm with you on the other movies, though.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do you have on this fine Saturday, sir, Brian?
I did want to comment about when you talked about Evolution pay-per-view. I'm not sure. I know you talked about it a little bit. I wasn't sure if you and Sean were going to get into it any more than that.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's completely – I yield the floor completely to you on that, by all means. We'll jump in.
Okay, so the part I'll say about it is that when I didn't get any of the spoilers, so when – you know, I knew there was going to be a big announcement on Raw. So when Stephanie Triple H – I know Vince was there, but when Stephanie Triple H mentioned it, I was – surprised, and I was shocked. I was like, okay, that's really cool, you know, to see these women get the spotlight. And I know somebody probably did the research. I didn't get a chance to look it up yet about when's the last time there's been a men's only pay-per-view where there's been no women's matches on it. And I'm pretty sure you have to probably go back into like the mid-90s when it would have had the time where it would have been right after Alundra Blaze / Medusa left and there was no women's champion. I'm pretty sure there was a gap somewhere around there when that was probably just really the big four or big five pay-per-views. Maybe somewhere in your house is when the last time it was a no women or it was all male pay-per-view. So I was excited for it. I was just surprised about a lot of the negativity. And, you know, I've said this before, Rich, and Sean probably not heard this part, but I understand where, because I think in real life it's the same way. If somebody burns you a couple times, you're going to be leery about or wary about what they do. So I can understand why a lot of people were, okay, let's wait and watch and see, and I think WWE is going to mess this up because they have messed up a lot of things before. But to me, it was a lot of more aggressive. Well, okay, they're going to mess this up. Okay, they're doing this just because of Saudi Arabia, and a lot of people don't understand on its own merits. And then the other thing was, well, how come they didn't announce this? Or how come they didn't announce I'll butcher her name. You'll clean me up, Rich, about the Japanese wrestler. Is it Io or Io Shiraz? I'm sorry about butchering your name.
Good.
Yeah, thank you. How come they announce her for it? How come they announce a women's tag team? You know, they can't be any dribbling out of information. It has to be all or nothing. And we have, you know, a couple months. They have to get past SummerSlam. They get past the next pay-per-view before this even comes up. So while they announce it, and, you know, a lot of other people are like, well, okay, how come we had to hear it again? How come they played it on SmackDown? How come they had to play it again on Raw? How come it took so long? How come it's highlighting Stephanie more than the wrestlers? So it was just, to me, so much of the, okay, they're doing it, but, or how come this or that? That was my big thing on it. I'm happy that they're going to have it. I'm looking forward to see how everything turns out and what women they bring in and what women they spotlight. So that's my take on it.
No, I look forward to it. I mean, they're going to have, already with Mae Young, they got 32 lined up for that. So between that, the NXT roster, the women's roster on the main roster, they can get to 50, and that's before we even mention the people they're going to pull that are vets from the past, like an Alundra Blaze or a Lita or going back to Trish. I mean, Trish will be like the golden, like they'll save her for something big, I'm sure. Maybe a tag match with Charlotte versus someone. But I'm really interested how they treat, they're going to completely ignore like an AJ Lee, who was really the impetus for this.
Yeah.
They're going to, because they've already done it.
Why I see why most people have a problem with that, I don't have a problem with it. And this is kind of I'll digress 1 second to talk about this part, and I think it'll make sense for the larger part of the conversation. So Wendy's, the restaurant chain, if you watch or read, maybe a day's worth, a couple of weeks' worth of their tweets, that whoever runs that Twitter account, the people running that Twitter account, is hilarious, including their mixtape that they had. Wendy's can talk about Burger King and talk about McDonald's, but you don't hear McDonald's. McDonald's doesn't talk about anybody else. They talk about themselves. Coke, I'm a Pepsi guy. I'll take Pepsi any day over Coke. But you don't hear Coke talk anything about Pepsi. They talk about their own business. So you know who's in second and third place, because the first place people don't talk about their competition. They have no competition. They know they do, but they don't. And with WWE, it's the same way. So should WWE mention TNA, AJ and Joe met on TNA pay-per-view before on their television show? No. Why even give TNA slash Impact any kind of rub at all? Now, on the network, let's not over-exaggerate, at least 50% of the people who subscribe to the network, they know that other wrestling exists. So for on a table for three thing, when you have AJ and Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle mention TNA, and everybody's like, oh, my God, they mentioned TNA on the network. The people who are watching the network probably already know of TNA slash Impact, and it's no big deal. But why should WWE give anybody else any kind of rub at all, because they are the leaders? So the reason why I bring all that up to come back to this part is that, yes, sure, AJ Lee did that, but why hype a person who's no longer with their company? I like the thing you just brought up, Rich, about it's Wade, really. I was listening to Wade's podcast earlier. Wade Keller, listened to his one of his daily updates, and about a person asked, should WWE approach AJ Lee and have her come back for the pay-per-view, and made out open up a door to CM Punk coming back. And if she comes back, I think that would be a good point. Yeah, she was the one who first started off this, or maybe they interview her and said, hey, this is the reason why I tweeted that long ago. But other than that, they don't owe anybody any explanation to say why they decided to do it. They decided just to do it. So that's my take on that whole thing. And I'm sorry to go all the way down to come all the way back up to your question.
No, that's fine. I just think, and I readily accept that they're going to try to craft the story that best makes them in the light, that they're the person who discovered fire. I mean, I heard Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez talking about the history of other women's only pay-per-views in the past that had nothing to do with WWE, and they're selling it as if it's the first time. And that's fine. That's, like you said, same thing with AJ Lee. They're going to ignore that whole give divas a chance was her creation that fans adopted because they agreed with her, and just go with it and just, ride it into the sunset. But yeah, thank you so much, Brian, as always, for the conversation. Is there anything else before we hit the next caller? I didn't want to be rude and cut you off midpoint.
No, I hope everybody has a real good weekend. Sean, it's good talking to you. Rich, always good talking to you. Hope you both have a real good weekend. Hopefully everybody else, all the listeners, have a good weekend as well. Talk to you later, Rich. Thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Always a pleasure. And when we come back, we're going to get our last calls of the day in, and then we're going to close up shop here on the deep dive. And we hope you stay along for the ride. So why don't you?
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich and Sean. We are here talking with you guys, and would love to keep talking with you. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And we have one more caller, and we'll see where it goes after that. 785, state your name, where you're calling from, and thanks for calling the Deep Dive.
Hey, Rich, Dan, driving through Missouri. I may drop out at any time.
Oh, hey, Dan, what's going on, my man?
Well, not a whole lot. If I can steal your co-host expertise for a minute, real quick, Dillashaw or Colby tonight?
Oh, God, I'll go with Dillashaw. What about you, Sean?
Garbrandt. He's going to knock him out cold, just like he almost did last time.
Ooh.
Okay. All right.
He got paid by the bell, and he shouldn't have.
I'm excited about it. I'll tell you, if I get cut off, I apologize, but my main point I wanted to make is I really enjoy listening to Brian's comments and stuff, but we're kind of projecting what this pay-per-view is going to be like, and we're talking about Hulk Hogan. And I think there's a lot of people, and you mentioned it about WWE acting like they created fire. Like, I don't know what this pay-per-view is going to be like, because obviously we don't even know anything that's going to be on it yet. I don't know if it's going to be good, bad, or indifferent. And when we talk about the stuff with Hulk Hogan, I mean, they didn't bring him back for no reason. Now they're getting so much blowback, they may not do it. But, you know, they brought him back to get him on TV and make money. And I may not be making my bigger point is, but, like, I just feel like we have this deference that WWE is doing the right thing all the time, when actually, in my opinion, they very rarely are. And maybe you guys can expand on that better than I'm trying to make the point.
Allow me.
No, I think you. Go for it, Sean.
Yeah. I think that first off, Vince McMahon annoyed a crying baby in the back. I'm sorry if you can hear them. Vince McMahon has failed to do the one thing you would think he would do as a competitor. He's an alpha male, right? Why doesn't he just say, hey, come challenge me? If I'm him, I acknowledge everybody. Why? Because I'm better than you anyway. It's like Michael Jordan and for the love of the game clause. Let everybody, I don't mind talking about TNA and all. This is where this person came from. That person had a great career there. Sure, you can go watch them, but you're not watching them, you're watching me. He started, Alpha Entertainment for the XFL? Yet, he doesn't act like an alpha. He always acts like he's not the top dog. That's super weird to me. He acts like, you know, competition begets competition. Burger King needs McDonald's. And if you put them in the same, if you put them in close proximity, guess what? You're going to choose one of those places. So it doesn't hurt him if you say, yeah, Impact's doing great. Maybe we'll get Pentagon. Pentagon Jr. will probably want to go there if he mentioned other stuff he did. You know, stuff he did instead of WWE not mentioning anything.
That's really good to think about. Dan. Like, think about in January or February, we are talking about the big four with New Japan in terms of the Young Bucks, Cody, and Kenny Omega. But a guy like an Okada wouldn't give a thought to going to WWE because he knows they would not give any credence. They would do what they did with Nakamura and say, oh, yeah, you were fine out east, but now you're in the big time.
Yeah. Nor would Tanahashi, Rich.
Right. And he's had chances over the years. If you read his autobiography, which parts of it are translated into English, he talks about the chances he's had, and he was the type that I wanted to stay. I felt loyal, and I couldn't necessarily trust how they would handle me over there. Because look at what TNA did to him. They made him into, like, as much as people call Switchblade the knife pervert, they turned Tanahashi into this quasi-over-sexualized, like, thing for the few months he was there, and then it was like, he went back to New Japan, and he was the awesome dude we knew and loved.
No, absolutely. I don't want to get too far off your main topic, but watching that Omega EC match this morning, I want everybody to make the most money they can, be as happy as they can, but I'm going to cry if he goes to WWE. I'm going to have like a day of mourning where I'll be completely unproductive because That stuff is at such a different level, and it would not be allowed, or what they wouldn't appreciate it in that company. And like I said, I may lose you at any point, so I'll hang up. But want to mention, I thought that comment was about the ridiculous promo on Tuesday night about the babies crying, not about your actual background. So anyway, thanks for taking my call.
No problem. As always, Dan, the man. Yeah, so Dan, like, that's a good closing comment talking about, like, the world that the WWE creates and how all of these things, you know, race, sex, et cetera, get filtered through their lens and their lens only, despite there being a whole wide world outside. And I, to be honest, Sean, up until you said it, I never thought of Vince McMahon as anything but an alpha, but it's almost like an alpha in like a sheep in alpha's clothing, and that he can't ever take the heat when it's just a direct competition.
He's in his father's shadow, and a lot of people always forget that. He is in his father's shadow. If you think about it, he was in the business, but he wasn't in the business like his father, and then one day he just was, and this has been him forever. I think the XFL thing is him being his own man and taking a spin off what his old man did, and that's why he wants to be successful there. That's why I want to start off. That's why I started off things talking about less understanding, not why Hogan said what he said, but like let's, you know, why people didn't like Starfire, like the understanding and the environment recreate, because WWE did create that environment. If they just had women's only pay-per-views all the time, or we wouldn't be talking about it like that. And that's what people have to hang up over, you know, because if they were just doing that through solid booking, it'd be fine. But they don't have solid booking because they refuse to acknowledge any competition. It's all in-house. And it's like, if you understand that match that Omega just had, you want to go out there and you want to crush that. You don't necessarily want to say, hey, they had a great match over here, check it out. But you want to go, oh, they had a great match over there, we're going to have an even better match. You want to have some sort of acknowledgement on it, at least on the level of competition. You don't want to shy away from it. And like the last caller just said, Dan, they're never doing the right things, because the right thing to do is invite your competition in and let them know that you're competing.
That's heck of a way for us to kind of wind things down. And before we do get out of here, Sean, I want to get, because I didn't do it at the beginning, I apologize. Let folks know where they can find you on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media you'd like them to track you down on. And if you could, give them a quick picks for tonight. What matches should they look at? And what are you looking forward to?
Well, you can find me on Heavy Arms on Twitter. I'm on a, you can add me on Facebook. I don't care. It's not like it's public. It's not even private. You know what? I'm who I am, who you see on the streets. You can also go ahead and like According to Sources, on Facebook. That's with the number 2, According to Sources. We don't have our website up yet, but it'll be on its way soon. We actually got hacked and lost everything. I think that's about it with that. Yeah, that happened a while ago, but that's fine. Or you can actually look at some of our work that was backed up on accordingtosources.wordpress.com. As far as tonight goes, what I'm looking forward to is just Cody Garbrandt knocking Dillashaw's teeth out. I don't even like Cody Garbrandt. Can't stand him, actually. But he had a game plan when he fought Cruz, and he stuck with it. And he did not stick with that against Dillashaw. We saw how good Dillashaw really was, because even a knockoff version of Cruz, which Dillashaw is, even that version could knock you out if you don't stay on your game plan. And Cody Garbrandt got caught slipping, and I don't think he'll get caught slipping this time unless he gets mad and gets knocked out again. But I doubt that'll happen. As for the rest of the card, I don't really care. I just only care about that one fight, to be honest. Everything else I'll just take in and, no, it's kind of mad at me, to be honest. Sorry about that.
No, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you giving the 411. So thank you. You're always welcome back. And I look forward to seeing your content on MMA Torch and, you know, obviously you wilding out on Twitter.
Yeah, thank you. I'll try not to be as problematic on Twitter. I'm lying. I'm going to be problematic.
I was going to say, you got to be you. Y'all going to be Sean no matter what
it is.
Shooters got to shoot. Shooters got to shoot.
Yeah.
All right, man. Be good.
All right, you too.
All right, everybody. That was Sean Covington at Heavy Arms, ARMZ at the end there on Twitter. Great dude. Honest dude, straightforward dude, and we had some great conversations, difficult conversations, but if you're listening to the deep dive, you're not here for the easy, you're here for the fun. As always, guys, thank you so much for listening. Everyone, thank you for downloading. If you have any comments or any future shows you'd like to see or hear, rather, on the deep dive, always hit us up at pwtdive@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter @rich_fan. And before we get out of here, I'm going to drop you some information on how you can become a VIP. Obviously, when you come a Torch VIP, you get access to over 27 years of quality service provided by editor publisher Wade Keller, Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell, The Fix with Todd Martin, Sean Radican, 10-year Torch contributor Travis Bryant, and more. So I'm going to leave that to the boss man. As always, dive into something new. Give yourself an opportunity to go beyond what you think you can do. Or as my man on My Hero Academia says, go beyond 100%. It's been real. See you in a week. We're going to have Bree on, and Bree's going to be dropping some knowledge as only she can.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free addition to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. Now